We are live for another edition of the Patriots Beat Podcast here on the CLNS Media Network. I am Mike Cadlick, joined as always by Alex Barth from 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're going to get into a Q&A here. We're going to lean it back a little bit and answer all your questions on this Patriots bye week. So please populate the chat with some of your questions and we will get to as many as possible. Rip them in there and we'll do a kind of rapid fire thing and we'll get that thing going. So me and Alex, again, we were down at Gillette Stadium today, kind of getting the grasp of, you know, where this team is post bye week. And let's sort of get into that, because before we start, we'll kind of just hit on this, because I think personally that despite not playing a single game, this team sort of won the bye week. They got healthy. I wrote about this a little bit more on clnsmedia.com today, but they got healthy and then the AFC kind of worked itself around them and now they sit in a playoff spot. So they're now the seventh seed. You know, we can talk about the games here, especially in the AFC East. The Bills go down, the Dolphins keep winning, but just your thoughts on kind of where the Patriots are at and then also, you know, where they are post-bye.
Yeah, did they win the bye week in the sense of a lot of games went the way they needed them to go? Yes. This also happened at this time last year. Remember, they were the number one seed at the AFC.
Yep.
Coming out of the bye week last year. So it only means as much as they can take advantage of it, right? If they go on and rip off a couple of wins here and beat the Jets and maybe take one from the Bills, then this, we're going to look back on this weekend and say this was massive. If they, you know, only manage to win one game after the bye like they did last year, then this becomes a major, major, major footnote. So it's a nice thought, but they've got to pull their weight on that take, kind of. So
yeah, for sure. I mean, look, the one thing that kind of ekes out of me is the Dolphins, and just Tua is 14-2 in his last 16 starts. A guy who we've ripped on this show before, on our Pats post game before, like, he just wins games. I mean, he's an MVP candidate now in the top two. Mike McDaniel's probably a coach of the year candidate. He'd probably win it if, you know, Daboll and Sirianni weren't having such great years. But, like, you know, they're going to have a real chance to beat some teams that, A, are in front of them in the AFC playoff picture, but, you know, B, just in their own division, right? So, like, it's going to, you know, it's going to get ugly, if you will, in a good way, whether it's good or bad for them or other teams in the division. But the other thing that happened, too, before we kind of populate some questions in here, is the Raiders went down against Jeff Saturday and the Colts. And Jeff Howe from The Athletic, along with several others, ended up reporting today that Josh McDaniel's job is safe in Vegas for the year. Originally, I was thinking that, you know, maybe this would allow McDaniels to get kicked out of there early, come home again, and just, you know, come crawling back, if you will, and kind of have a better, more comfortable spot here in New England and get Mac Jones on track for where he was last year. Whether that be at the end of the season or during the season, who knows? But it doesn't look like they're going to part ways with him, but the Raiders are struggling. And, you know, do you see McDaniels there long term? Kind of what, do you have any opinion or thoughts there and kind of where that'll end up, where that'll go?
I don't remember who had this on Twitter. Somebody had it on Twitter, really interesting take that was basically, would the Raiders hold on to Josh McDaniels through the offseason just to see if they can land Tom Brady? Right. You figure okay, if they have Josh McDaniels, they're going to be a player from Brady. We know that in the past, Brady showed interest in going to Vegas. So,
yep.
If that's their justification for holding on to him, that's not the worst reason in the world. This season's right, already kind of cooked at this point anyway. You know, I don't know that firing McDaniels and bringing another coach, suddenly they're Super Bowl favorites again. They're 2-7. That's a massive hole to dig out of.
Right.
You've also got to remember Josh McDaniels is there because Dave Ziegler's there, the GM. They went there together. So I don't know that you can fire McDaniels without also firing Ziegler. Now this is a major, major, major reset. So
right,
I think he makes it through the offseason. I think he's a guy that will be on a very short leash to start next season. But
right,
there's
agree,
a couple of reasons why I think that they'll hold on to him through the season. No, if anybody's one and done, it's Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah,
he is the one and done coach right now because he's not necessarily, like, obviously the Broncos hired him, but he's not their guy. He's a coach they've hired. He's not the coach they've hired. And that thing's just been, I mean, it's been a mess. It's been a mess. They were supposed to be better than the Raiders. You bring in Russell Wilson. The other thing is the GM, after that trade, the GM might be, and I can't remember the name. I know John Elway got promoted.
George to like Patton. It's George Patton.
Kind of role. Thank you. George Patton.
Yep.
Makes the trade he does. The team comes out like this. Both of those guys, to me, are the one and done candidates this year.
Well, that's too, like, you know, Josh and Ziegler are tied together. So that's a right. more difficult move to make, where the Nathaniel Hackett thing, it almost felt like it was a precursor to bringing Aaron Rodgers into the fold in Denver. And then that just never ended up happening. So that kind of, I feel like they have more of a way, an easier way out to get rid of Hackett there than Vegas does with McDaniels. But let's start with the Q&A and let's bounce that off of, say McDaniels did come back here. First question is, will Mac trust McDaniels as much, even if he does come back because he left? I think those are two separate things, in my opinion. Yeah. I think he had to go take a head coaching job. You get paid more. You run your own franchise. It's a dream. It's why you're in the profession. I don't think they fault him for going to take that job. And frankly, I don't think Mac trusts the guy he has in the room now in Judge and Patricia. So, like, I think he would welcome Josh back with open arms, given the success they had together last year. And, you know, I tweet about this all the time, and people are always in my mentions, you know, 47-17, they lost to the Bills. And, like, no, McDaniels was perennial in Mac having the success he had last year. It got ugly down the stretch. We know that. We'll get into that all this week even more, and probably throw out the Q&A with, you know, what happened last year at the bye week. But no, I guarantee he would welcome Josh back with open arms. I feel like they had a great relationship and he really helped him succeed as a quarterback.
Yeah, this isn't like a you left me, how do I know you're not going to leave again thing. One, first of all, he's not going to leave again. He's never going to be a head coach again. This is it. This is right. He failed spectacularly in Denver. I think the Indy thing still gets held against him by teams around the league. He's not leaving again until he retires. The other thing is, it's not like getting back with your ex. No, this is, he went to take a better job. You're happy for your friend for taking a better job. It's not, these kind of moves are not viewed through that lens. No.
Yeah. He didn't, it's not like he took a lateral move either. Like you said, he took a promotion. So like if he went lateral, maybe went for a better quarterback strictly to, you know, be an offensive coordinator again, that would be a different question. But you know, like you said, he took a promotion and he kind of had to do that. Looking for questions here in the chat.
Here, I'll pull this up.
Okay.
Apples and oranges.
Okay.
Tyquan Thornton was not brought in to be, I saw some people talking about it in the chat before. I'm assuming that's where this came from. People were saying, you look at what Justin Jefferson makes Kirk Cousins look like, what Stephon Diggs makes Josh Allen look like. Can they get that guy from Mac Jones? Absolutely a conversation to have. Absolutely a conversation that we're going to have a ton this offseason. Spoiler alert, I'm going to be all in on Jerry Jeudy. Tyquan Thornton was not drafted to be that guy. He was drafted to be Nelson Aguilar's replacement, hopefully an improvement, be the speed guy. If anybody on this team was brought in to fill this role, it was Devontae Parker. Now, I don't think Devontae Parker, and I like Devontae Parker. I like that acquisition. I never thought he was going to be that kind of player. If they expected him to have a Justin Jefferson, a Stephon Diggs, Jamar Chase type of impact, he's not that guy. He wasn't going to be that guy. Right. Not liking Thornton because he's not putting up 120 receiving yards a game. Like, that's not who he is, especially as a rookie. He was never going to be that guy as a rookie. This team's track record with rookies, you're right. Panic and wanting a veteran superstar wide receiver like that is going to be the two things pending something weird happening in free agency. And look, the Shaq Mason move happened last year, but pending something weird, I think 90% of what we talk about going into this offseason is going to be getting a left tackle, like a franchise left tackle and a superstar boundary wide receiver. Those are really the two big holes. Besides that, the rest of the roster actually feels pretty solid. You know, they got to kind of figure out what they're doing at some other spots. You know, they could use a linebacker. They could probably use a safety. We'll see what happens with Devin McCourty, but they have depth there. They have internal options. They do need a veteran superstar wide receiver. Tyquan Thornton not being that guy, he's not even 9
That's
games
not the reason
career,
he needs
right?
to go get one. Yeah.
Right. Tyquan Thornton not being that guy 5 games into his career is not a reason to write off Tyquan Thornton. I still think he has tremendous potential.
Yeah.
This feels like, you know, a tremendous leap to just criticize.
No, I agree. Like you said, it wasn't in the cards for him either. And not only was he a rookie and the Patriots, you know, don't tend to throw rookies into the fold right away. He was a rookie who also missed his first 4 games. So he came into the thing unhealthy. I want to bounce off this for you because you wrote about this, some RPOs. Just if you want to bounce, if they'll try and incorporate more of this moving forward and kind of see where they'll try and I think they're going to try and fit Thornton in more anyway, just because of the speed. He had another week to get even healthier. But specifically on RPOs, I don't know if you had anything more on that.
So here's what's encouraging, first off, with Tyquan Thornton. I just kind of talked about how they're very hesitant with rookies. And actually, I want to pull some numbers up here that are going to back me up because I want to have the exact numbers. They are hesitant with rookies, but Bill Belichick does like to say once you get to Thanksgiving, there's no rookies, right? Everybody's played enough games. The guy I'm pulling up here is Ramondre Stevenson because I want the exact numbers. But I believe last year it was around this time that his usage rate started to take off. Yeah, it was. So week 13. So a little before the bye, because the bye was later last year, but he played significantly more down the stretch. Could we see the same thing with Tyquan Thornton? And in that regard, yes, I think RPOs would be massive for this offense. I wrote extensively about this on 98.5thesportshub.com today. I encourage everybody to check it out.
Do it.
Very much stuff. The tone of this show.
BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting for football and basketball this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. Always your continued source for sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. We're the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf games and events. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. Bet online, where the game starts.
One of my favorite things I've written this season, the Patriots last year, they didn't run a lot of RPOs relative to the rest of the league. They ran 52 RPOs, which was tied for the 25th most in the NFL. Now, keeping that in mind, they averaged 9.6 yards per play on the RPOs, which was the best in the league by almost 2 yards per play. Like significantly the best in the league. So you think, all right, and they're not going to average 9.6 if they keep running RPOs at that rate, right? There's teams that run 200-300 RPOs a year. If the Patriots start running that many, they're not going to keep averaging 9.6 yards per play. It's going to come down, but it felt like something, hey, this is something Mac's comfortable with, and it made sense. He ran a lot of Alabama, something the rest of the team is comfortable with. It's a good thing for the young quarterback to kind of get him going. It felt that way. It really did about RPOs last year. This year, two numbers are way down. The overall number of RPOs has dropped significantly. They've run just 15 in 9 games, and just 6 of those have come when Mac Jones is on the field. They ran some with Bailey Zappe as well. I think they actually ran one also with Brian Hoyer. And the ones they're running, the average yards per play has dropped below the league average. So they led the league last year. There, I think it's 22nd, and this is all going into week. I did the math before Sunday, going into this week, the average yards per play drops to about 6. So they're running fewer RPOs. They're having less success with them. Why? I don't think it's actually McDaniel's thing, because the Raiders are the second worst RPO team in the league this year. They're averaging 3.9 yards per play, which is not good, period. So one time I wear my glasses, I'm totally nerding out. That's perfect. what changed? I think some of it is RPOs can be like a volume, like a rhythm play. The more you do them, because it's a read. And again, if you don't know what an RPO is, go 98.5thesportshub.com. I explain it. But it's a play that when you get in a rhythm, they become a little easier. It's like a microwave shooter in basketball, right? A guy that the more shots he takes, the better he gets because he's feeling it. So running more RPOs could help. The other thing is it's the kind of RPOs they're running. I'd remind everybody, an RPO is a concept. It's not a play. You don't go into the huddle and go RPO ready break.
Right.
There's
several different types of them. So it means run pass options.
Right. So it's like everybody thinks, okay, there's two play calls. You can run or you can pass. Now there's this third thing that's both. They're running a lot of bubble screens, almost exclusively bubble screens is the pass option on these RPOs. And I like bubble screen RPOs. I think it's kind of the way the play flows. I think it works well. That being said, when it's the only RPO you're running, it's not going to be as effective. They've got two great slant receivers in Tyquan Thornton and Devontae Parker. I'd love to see some, and they ran slant RPOs last year. They did. They ran slants. They ran a couple fade RPOs. The bubble screen was still a big part of it, but they were mixing it in, right? I'd like to see them run more RPOs, but I'd really just different different route combinations off of it, especially that slant. Because I think, again, Thornton and Parker, for different reasons, are very good on that route. And when you incorporate that on into an RPO, I think there's some chances to really move the ball there. So that's kind of my RPO spiel. And again, Tyquan Thornton fits it. I think one way or the other, we're going to see him more down the stretch here.
Yeah.
But that's a way to really get him involved, get him in a rhythm, and get Mac in a rhythm too. And the one other thing I'd say about RPOs, the biggest issue for this offense right now, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, Mike, dump on Mac all you want. The biggest issue for this offense is the offensive line. When the offensive line figures it out, I'm telling you, Mac's going to look better. The receivers are going to look better. Even Ramondre is going to look better. I know he's looked really good. They've left some chances for him on the table with how this offensive line is played. The offensive line is the one position that you can't hide, right? You can hide a deficiency at running back. You can maybe hide a deficiency at wide receiver. You know, when you have guys like James White, and Rob Gronkowski, you cannot hide your offensive line. If your offensive line is not good, that will show. It does not matter what you call. But RPOs, because it's a quick release play that essentially is designed to leave one player unblocked.
Right.
You can, it is the best way possible to negate the negative impacts of a bad offensive line. So the RPO, running RPOs will help the offensive line out as well. So I there's a million reasons. I would love to see them run it more. Who knows if they will or not. It's something to watch. Again, I go into this as much as I just talked about it, very in-depth, even more in-depth on 98.5thesportshub.com. But yeah, I would love to see more RPOs.
Sure. So, I mean, as you were sort of, as like you said, Alex went on his little his rant there for RPOs. I'm going to quickly rant about LinkedIn, and then we'll get back to the Q&As, if I can just hide that. Because I have my two cents about our presenting sponsors here at LinkedIn. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available, and that's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the right people for your team faster and for free. We use LinkedIn Jobs here at CLNS Media, and they make it super easy to post your job. Then just add add your listing and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right tools and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. As we inch close to December, now's the perfect time to add the right team member and end 2022 strong. That's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/beat. That's linkedin.com/beat to post your job for free. Terms and conditions, as always, apply. Thank you for listening to me go on my spiel. So speaking of the we traded off there. Going back to the offense, we talked about the types of plays they'll run just now, but this one kind of interested me, and it's more so behind the scenes-y, if you will, not so much, scheme stuff. But do you think Belichick has it in him to part ways with Patricia and Judge and kind of get a new offensive coordinator in here if they can't figure it out down the stretch here? Because it seems like to me that this kind of felt like a placeholder, and it's like, okay, you have Patricia and Judge getting paid by other teams. We've talked about it. People have talked about it, but they're getting paid by other teams. They're not on your payroll. They're probably here for cheaper. They're your friends. It's almost like they're doing you a favor. But is the plan to expand on this, or is the plan to teach these guys and let them take over the reins? So I guess, do you think they will, and do you think they should?
So I don't think Judge or Patricia will get fired. I don't think they're going to hire somebody and name them the OC. I think what you could see is somebody brought in that gets some senior offensive strategist, some title like that.
The bogus ones they throw around. Yeah.
Right. That comes in and reworks it. The interesting thing here, and I'm just going to kind of answer another part of this question, because he mentioned Mac being fine in the McDaniel system. I've seen a lot of people suggest that, they need Josh McDaniels back. Josh McDaniels, and I think Josh McDaniels being back would be an improvement. I do. But what, and we're going to get kind of philosophical here, and I'll ask you this question, Mike.
Let's hear it.
What is the bigger reason the offense is performing the way it is? Is it because Josh McDaniels left, or is it because Matt Patricia replaced him? Do you get what I'm asking?
Yes, I do. And it's, It's because Patricia replaced him. Because, yes, in theory, you could have replaced McDaniels with something half as good as Patricia. Or, I mean, half, you get what I'm saying.
Twice as good, yeah.
Yeah, in between, right. And it would have been fine. But, yeah, go ahead. But
no, so I would just say this to people, because this is a conversation we're going to have. What do they do at OC? And not now, but in the offseason. But I would say this. I think in some ways it's been framed as Josh McDaniels or bust for this offense. I wouldn't go that far. I'm not saying I wouldn't take Josh McDaniels back. I would, but I'll take anybody with offensive experience at this point is kind of more so where I'm coming from. Like,
yeah,
Josh McDaniels would be great. Somebody from that tree who actually knows offense would be great. Whether it's, a guy like Chad O'Shea coming back, whether it's Bo Hardigree, who's the quarterback's coach in Vegas right now. Like, I don't think it that the, well, it's McDaniels or it's Judge/Patricia.
Patricia. Yeah.
Those aren't the only two options. Like, I would remind people that I think they would explore all options, right? It's not going to be, oh, well, Josh is staying in Vegas, so we're sticking with Matt and Joe. I think some people are thinking about it that way, and I understand why. Yeah. I was kind of like, it took me a minute to be like, no, it's not just that. You know, it's going to go beyond that. So, I don't know. It's just a take I had over the weekend, a thought I had over the weekend that, you know, it's not just those guys. Start looking around, see what else is out there, and just somebody with an offensive mindset. So this is an interesting one. As an Alabama fan, the Patriots have Bill O'Brien back. Bill O'Brien, they are not fans of him in Alabama right now. Some of it's justified. Mm-hmm. I think that they're not getting the play out of their receivers that they maybe expected to. I just don't think those guys are as good as maybe projected. I don't think Bill O'Brien's coming back. I think you can call this informed speculation. I think he wants to stay in college. I think, he's going to get a college head coaching job.
That's where I was going to go with this. Right. Like, I feel like he stayed there in order to, you know, give himself, like, he got himself the Alabama, the Nick Saban treatment. Saban did it with Lane Kiffin. He did it with Steve Sark. You know, come here, call our offense, and we can mold you into, you know, a head coaching candidate again. The way they've struggled this year, it seems like, again, I was thinking maybe that's not the case because, you know, they're not the Bama of old and they're not, I mean, granted, you have Bryce Young and everything, but it's like, is he pulling them down? So you can go off what you just said, but that's kind of where I'm at. I don't know if he, you know, molded himself as well as he might have hoped.
He's not going to get like the Auburn job or the Wisconsin job, but I'll tell you this, the really interesting one for me with him is BC if they move on from Jeff Hafley, because...
Informed speculation?
No, this is just guessing. This is just guessing. Okay. You look at what he did at Penn State, and he took a program that, by all accounts, should have been dead in the water, and in no time brought them back to national prominence.
Yep.
Not to excuse what the school did by any means, but with the pieces he was given in the fallout, he did an excellent job. I think a program like BC that obviously is not penalized the way Penn State was penalized, but is at another sort of rock bottom where they're at, having a guy who's not just a good coach, but knows how to rebuild a program, to start a program from scratch, essentially. I think there'd be tremendous value in BC having a guy like that. He's also a local guy. He's from Massachusetts. He has connections in the area. He's recruited in the Northeast before. If I'm BC, I'm offering him a blank check. Like, if they care at all about saving that football program, which is a completely separate conversation, we could maybe save for a college football minute another time, but he's going to get a head coaching job at the college level. And it's not even an indictment on the Patriots really to say that that's a better job than being the OC for the Patriots. It is. You look at, and I don't know that he's going to get Jimbo Fisher money, but Jimbo Fisher is going to get $80 million to sit on his couch for the next 10 years, right? Why would he come be an assistant in the NFL when he's either A, going to run his own program, or B, get a massive buyout? Cause those things aren't changing. Right. So yeah, I don't think he's coming back. I don't. And there's a number of reasons for that. I want to bring this comment up, and I realize we're going back to this guy, and he's probably just trolling us with all of these awful, awful takes. Lamar Jackson didn't need all that stuff. He's talking about, you know, the help of the coordinators and the receivers. Just shows how mid Mac Jones is. Taking nothing away from Lamar Jackson. He was my MVP pick coming into the season. But to say Lamar Jackson didn't need the right situation you don't know what you're talking about. Go back and watch Lamar as a rookie when he's running the Joe Flacco offense in Baltimore. He's a traditional shotgun dropback passer. He struggled. It was ugly.
Yep.
They go out. They bring in
Greg Roman.
Thank you. I want to say Wink Martindale for some reason. They
bring in DC. He's the defensive guy who's in the Giants now.
They bring in Greg Roman. They start running a system that kind of capitalizes on Lamar Jackson's strengths, which they were not doing before with the Joe Flacco system, which why would they? They were playing the Joe Flacco strengths. They go out, they get these big body receivers, they get these yards after catch receivers, they get these bullying running backs that can play off of them. The system's built around it. The whole idea of a system quarterback, there has never been and will never be a quarterback that is equally good in every offensive system. Every quarterback has a system that they're going to be better in because no two players are the same and everybody has a different skill set. Tailoring your offense to the quarterback skill set is not a sign that the quarterback is bad. It's just what you do. It's basic football offensive game planning 101. Every team has done that since the beginning of the game. Tom Brady, they built the system around his skill sets. He had very unique skill sets, which elevated that system and made it so good. They were able to do certain things that you know, other quarterbacks wouldn't have been able to do. But I'll say, I just said about like Lamar, right? Put him in a drop back, you know, put him in the Brady offense and he'd probably struggle. Put Brady in the Lamar offense and he's going to struggle tremendously. Right. It's all about fitting this. You want to build your offense around your quarterback strengths. Tua is another great example. They've done an excellent job building that offense around what Tua does best. What the Rams did last year for Stafford is another example. They've kind of gotten away from that this year. The Niners are another one. The Packers up until this year, the Packers are a great example of they went away from Aaron Rodgers' strengths. He wants to throw the ball down the field. He wants to throw 50-50 balls, use that downfield accuracy, and they try to make him dink and dunk, and he just doesn't have the patience for that. It's not in his game. So it's not that Mac isn't good. It's that they're not letting him do what he's good at.
Right.
And that's where all this frustration comes from. That's what it all boils down to is last year they did a great job, a fantastic job of tailoring the offense to Mac Jones. And it felt like when that season ended, it was basically, if you put some more talent around him, certain kinds of players to enhance what he already does, right? Like, for instance, the Ravens adding a guy like Devin Duvernay, who was
the
perfect wide receiver for that offense. Mm-hmm. If they could make targeted additions like that, that was going to be, and then Mac naturally taking that second year leap, that's what was going to move things forward. Instead, they've kind of changed what the offense is and drifted away from what Mac does as strengths. Right. And just to follow this up here, because somebody's asking me, somebody said Brady would struggle in the Ravens offense right now, followed it up by saying the Ravens have good players. It's not like
it's not just the players. It's the scheme.
It's the scheme, right.
The types of play calls.
If you let Brady run Brady's offense with the Ravens players, it would probably look pretty good. But if you're putting him out there running triple options and all these
quarterback power, like that,
he can't run it. It's not to his skill set.
Zone read type thing. And even to your point before, it's like the best quarterbacks in the NFL that the coaches scheme the game up around them. Like a guy like Patrick Mahomes, who has Tyreek Hill and they take deep shots with him. Tyreek Hill leaves. They try and bring guys in. It doesn't work. They go get a guy like Kadarius Toney to fit their system and fit their scheme. So it's like, you have to adjust on the fly and you got to make things happen for your guy. Even Josh Allen, right? They do it for him. They go get him Stephon Diggs and they go get Gabe Davis and they change the, you know, Ken Dorsey calls the offense.
I still don't know that offense is built around Josh Allen correctly.
But it's,
if we're being honest.
But they give him, you know, I guess they give him toys to work with that fit the type of offense they want to run.
Right. So it's two different things. It's get the right, it's find an offensive system, an offensive scheme, tendencies that fit your quarterback, and then put good players that fit that scheme around them. They've built the offensive system for Allen is correct, but they still have a running game and he has to run the ball too much and he takes all these hits. Like that to me is, that's an example of where if they could just put together a decent running game, and I don't know what it is because they have a decent offensive line. I like their backs. I really like James Cook in the draft.
Yeah, me too.
They just can't run the football.
Yeah, I know.
If they could run the football, honestly, like then Josh Allen would truly be unlocked. I don't think he's truly unlocked right now because he has to run the football all the time. He takes all these hits, and you see it. You're seeing it right now. It takes this toll.
Yeah, agreed. One here for you that has popped up a few times now, but I mean, let's go back to getting toys for people, right? That we'll do this one, and then I have another one too. But Brandon Ayuk in San Francisco, what do you think about his availability and if the Patriots could go get him? I mean, that's a guy who the San Francisco, they already have Debo, they have George Kittle, they bring in McCaffrey. I mean, in theory, they're going to want to keep Ayuk there because he's just another superstar who, you know, superstar is a stretch, but that's how they put it in the comment. He's a guy who plays really good football and fits, I think he fits their scheme well as sort of a third, fourth option there, but he could end up commanding a lot of money somewhere else. So what do you think about his fit here?
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I really like him as a player. I really do. I just, like you said, he's the third or fourth option.
Right.
He's never had more than 800 receiving yards in a season. What does he look like when he is that number one guy? You know, he's not getting covered by number one corners. Teams aren't scheming to stop him. Like, if you really want to go get it, he would almost be comparable to me to getting Devontae Parker. And I'm not saying that he's the same player as Devontae Parker.
Yeah.
But it's that same idea where, like, you even said it there. You called him a superstar because that's how the question phrased it. But is he? Is he not? If you have to ask the question, he's probably not.
Yeah.
Go get a guy who's done it. Go get a guy who's been a number one, who's elevated the team. Again, Stephon Diggs, what he did for the Vikings, he elevated that team. There was no way to question it.
I know a guy like Michael Gallup. Like, Michael Gallup is a guy who, second tier, it's almost
exactly,
like a
shit. Yeah.
My friend Joey, shout out Joey, in our Dynasty Fantasy Football League, was all about going to get Michael Gallup because he thought that he would end up somewhere else outside of Dallas to be their number one, and he would be that guy. But that doesn't necessarily happen as often as you think. Like you said, Devontae Parker is a good example of that. Or, it feels like he might be someone who, you know, you put him on their own, and they're not as good as they are as the second
option.
So, look,
I wouldn't be opposed to getting him because I think
– right.
You know, I still think Tyquan Thornton has upside. And if they really believe in Thornton taking off, and it's Thornton and Ayuk and Jacoby Myers, like, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good group, assuming Thornton develops the way we think he's going to develop.
Right.
But I don't know that I would sit here and say, yes, they got their equivalent of what Stephon Diggs is to Josh Allen or what Ja'Marr Chase is to Joe Burrow. Like, I wouldn't go that far with a guy like Brandon Ayuk. Wouldn't be a bad addition at all.
No.
But I don't think, and I know at the beginning I said Jerry Jeudy, and people are going to say, well, Jerry Jeudy hasn't done it either. Well, Jerry Judy's never had a quarterback. Never.
Right.
And he gets hurt a lot. That's the risk with him. When he's healthy, he's a number one. I don't think there's a ton of question about it. He just can't stay healthy, which is a risk in itself. But unfortunately, like, I look at the market, I would imagine the Vikings are going to pay Jefferson. I don't see a world where they let him out the building. Jerry Judy's the guy then. Jerry Jeudy is the guy, and I think at a certain point you just have to go with what the market dictates, unless they want to get really aggressive in the draft and trade up for a guy like Jackson Smith and Jigba. Then, you know, I keep bringing up Ja'Marr Chase in this conversation because I think what he did for Joe Burrow is comparable to what Stephon Diggs for Josh Allen did for Josh Allen. Obviously, it's different circumstances. The Bengals drafted Ja'Marr Chase.
Right.
Or like Jalen Waddle in Miami. I guess the Dolphins did both. They drafted Jalen Waddle and they traded for Tua.
They brought in Tyreek.
Tyreek, thank you.
Yep.
That would be the argument there. Would be, you know, at that point, I think, all right, is it, you know, do you trade up for Jackson Smith and Jigba? Honestly, a guy they'd probably really like is, why can't I do names tonight? The kid from Pitt who transferred, Jordan Addison. USC, then at that point, maybe we start having that conversation, which we'll do in the offseason.
All right, let's have fun.
Yep, all right.
WH is the question asker. Would you rather have Mac, Brady, Rodgers, or Zappy as the quarterback next year?
Brady.
The answer is Brady. You take off Zappy right away.
Right.
He's clearly the worst one here. I'm not doing that. No offense. I love Bailey Zappy. He was great. I think he's a good backup, but I think he got exposed a little bit at the end of that Bears game. I think it's Brady. You want Brady. Then I would stick with Mac before I go get Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers is a guy who's a little bit more bought out than Brady is right now. I think Brady wants to keep playing. I think he wants to go elsewhere and try and win somewhere else. And I think that the Patriots kind of have a little bit of a put it this way. If they went and got Brady, they would say, let's go win a Super Bowl.
Right.
Rodgers would come here and I think they'd be good. But again, he seems like a little bit more bought out. I think Brady would be the best fit to come back here and be the quarterback next year. So Brady's my pick as well.
Yeah, absolutely. If you reset it, first of all, it between Mac and Zappe, it's Mac. Mac still has the higher ceiling.
Yep.
Between Brady and Rodgers, Brady's the better quarterback. And if you're going to move on anyway, right, and go back into that quarterback carousel, which so many people seem ready to do, which frustrates the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Mac Jones not being a top five quarterback in the NFL in year two does not, which I think some people want him to be, does not mean that Mac Jones is not a franchise, like cannot be a, you know, franchise caliber quarterback, a Matthew Stafford or Matt Ryan type down the road, especially when you look at the situation he's been put in. But if you're going to hit, if you really want to go back in that quarterback carousel, which again, do you really want to go down that road? Look at the Browns, look at what the Bills were for years. Look at what the Lions have been like, or not the Lions,
Broncos. The Broncos were in it for a while.
No, but they're the Bears. The Bears are the team I was trying to think of. The Bears were in that quarterback carousel for years and years and years. You go into that, suddenly it's 30 years later, and you know you've made one or two playoffs. Like
you got 30 names on your jersey. Hard.
We all watched The Last Dance, and the Bulls were so quick to rush into that rebuild. Mm-hmm. Because they were like, oh, well, the sooner we start this, the sooner we'll be good again. And you never know. Remember when people were pushing Tom Brady out the door because, just go and get the next guy as if it's that easy. A lot of those same people.
Or they have the guy in Jimmy.
A lot who was not the guy. a lot of the people who are pushing Brady out the door are now pushing Mac out the door. Clearly learned nothing. Zero. Right. Zilch. You don't want to be in that quarterback carousel at all. If there's a chance Mac is the guy, you stick with him. What we've seen so far has not disproven that Mac is the guy. He hasn't proven he is, but he has not proven he isn't either. All he's proven is that Matt Patricia doesn't know what he's doing as an offensive coordinator and the offensive line isn't good. That's what's been proven. That being said, if you are going to hit the reset button, you might as well have a year of fun first, right? Yeah. Like if you bring Brady back, it's a short-term thing. It's maybe 2 years, probably one, maybe two. And then you're back in the quarterback carousel. But if you're moving on from Mac, you're going back into the quarterback carousel anyway, it's going to be 2020 all over again. And it's going to be Cam Newton and Jarrett Stidham, where the answer is really neither. That's what you're rooting for if you're pushing Mac out the door. Might as well bring Brady back for one last ride before we do that nonsense again.
Last Dance 2.0, because I think that Rodgers...
Well, no, we'll give it its own name. We'll figure out what it is. I'm using Last Dance as a placeholder.
Sure. Let's transition to defense for a second here because I have two answers to this.
And by let me add one thing real quick.
No, hit it.
I would take Rodgers over Mac for the same reasons. If the team wants to move on from Mac truly, Rodgers, I don't think would be to the same level as Brady, but you buy time before you go back into that quarterback carousel once again.
So you would rather Rodgers than Mac next year?
Probably. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Barth noted not a Mac Jones guy. Kidding.
If the team doesn't think Mac is the guy.
Right.
You wouldn't just go to, oh, maybe it's Bailey Zappe. No, you bring in Aaron Rodgers, then you go back in the carousel.
Yeah, I agree. Two comments on this one here. The Patriots signed Jonathan Abram, who was just released by the Raiders the other day. The Packers claimed him off waivers, I believe. And B, the Patriots safety room is fine. They don't need an additional safety in there. Maybe for the future, if this is maybe McCourty's last year, but I still think that room is fine. You have another year, Josh Bledsoe, maybe getting a little bit better. Obviously you have Duggar and Phillips and Jabril Peppers. So I don't think a safety is much of a need. So I think that would have just kind of been a little bit of a waste on the defensive end, but you know, what do you think of the Raiders, I guess, blowing themselves up again with Jonathan Abram? And should the Pats take a chance if it's not the Packers? But I think it is.
Yeah, I think it's Packers too. I mean, I've talked about kind of the lack of depth at safety and especially the issues covering tight ends. Jonathan Abram would be a guy that helps with that. He has struggled this year. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't necessarily call signing him a bad move, but I wouldn't say it's a move they need to make. If they miss out on him, whatever. Like, I miss out is the wrong term. I don't think they'd be missing out on anything. It wouldn't be a bad move to sign him, but I don't know how much he'd be good safety depth, but It's not going to be, I don't know that it changes their overall season outlook that much if they don't sign him.
Yeah. Okay. The Patriots somehow have a chance to win the division.
Yeah.
Barth, do you think they can?
If Josh Allen's elbow is really a problem, yes.
Yeah.
If Josh Allen gets healthy and now the Bills are pissed off, they'll show it. They'll storm down, you know, the stretch here. If Josh Allen's really going to have trouble throwing the ball, and they got some other injuries too, by the way, like they've been beat up all year.
Yeah.
If Josh Allen's going to look like he did against the Vikings, where, you know, the numbers are a little inflated because Minnesota basically let him have a walkthrough before overtime there, moving the ball down the field. If he's going to look like that and he's turning the ball over left and right, yeah, the Patriots have a shot because I think that every team has a fatal flaw. And
right.
The Patriots have the most division games left. All but one of those games are at home, right? They have four division games left. Three of them are at home.
Yeah, one of them's Buffalo, but the rest are all at home.
I mean, if they roll through those, Cardinals should be a win. Raiders is only tricky because, like, that's Josh McDaniels' Super Bowl. There's familiarity. At this point. You're going to get their best shot, truly. The Bengals, you don't know who's going to show up. That's been an inconsistent team. So,
yeah,
you know, if they win those four, now you're at 9 wins. Can you find 2 wins between the, who's it? It's the Bengals, Cardinals, Raiders, and Vikings. Can you find 2 wins in those 4 games? I don't see why not. Now you're at 11. Does 11 wins win this division? Could. I don't know Probably. That it will. Again, if Josh Allen's healthy, it won't.
Right.
But, like, I said at the beginning of the season, my big prediction at the beginning of the season, when I did the season preview with Matt Dolph on 98.5, I said the first Bills game will matter. Some way, some form, like that game is going, there's going to be stakes in that game. And here we are. And it
clearly
if
matters.
The Bills are kind of, I don't want to say they're backsliding, but again, if Josh Allen's hurt, to me, it's a 4-way race. If Josh Allen's hurt, it's a 4-way race because we know the Patriots can beat the Jets. I still don't believe in the Jets just because the quarterback, I love their defense, but Zach Wilson's too much of a liability. The Dolphins, it's kind of like, are they peaking too early thing? You know, and
yeah,
and
I wonder how they go down the stretch. So just Dolphins quickly, like 2 years ago, they started 6-3 and they ended up not making the playoffs. Right. So they've been up and down.
And, you know, is Tua going to stay healthy? What is that offense going to look like coming up to Foxborough in the winter? And I think they still have to go to New York too. Buffalo, actually, I think they still have to, I think all 3 of their AFC East games are home. So they got to come up to the cold. Like that feels tricky for them. That's a fair weather offense. I'm laying out the best case scenario here,
right?
But yes, they do. I want to bring this one up just because it's something I've talked a lot about. Thoughts on Damien Harris going forward. What's his future look like in New England with Kevin Harris, Pierre Strong, Ramondre? I'll just address this for this year. Damien Harris needs to play more. They're putting so much on Ramondre's plate, and I just really don't want to see him get burnt out. Like we just talked about, there's going to be a ton of important games down the stretch here. I want him full go for those games. Bye week certainly helps, but the 75-80% usage rate to me is a little alarming. Damien Harris is damn good running back. Damn good running back. Use him. Put him on the field. Keep Ramondre fresh. You know, long term, I don't know. They traditionally don't pay running backs. Damien Harris is a guy I look twice at because I think he's a very strong, important voice inside that locker room. He's like a core character guy. And those guys, they will sometimes pay out of character for like other things, whether it's age or position or whatever.
Like Slater and McCourty are good examples there. They're guys who have stuck around.
I mean, Devin McCourty's always been a really good player. That's just them.
No, I know, but yeah.
I would say more a guy like Dietrich Wise, honestly, is who I would compare Damien Harris to, where he's not necessarily the best player at his position. It's traditionally a position where they don't pay players. Like Matthew Judon's contract is a massive exception to how they usually operate, but it's an important voice in the locker room. He brings versatility, brings a sturdy presence, good depth. There's probably still some room for growth in his game with Wise. There was, and you're seeing it now from where he's come since he signed that contract. So this is not me saying they're definitely going to re-sign Damien Harris, but I think the general they don't pay running backs rule, there may be some more layers to his situation than just that. It's a specific situation, but I'd love to see him play more this year one way or the other.
Yeah, I agree. Again, it's like they need to, you know, like you said, they need to take some weight off Ramondre's back throw as they go here. Did you have one? One other one that was kind of bouncing off just winning the AFC East, right? Aside from the Bills game, what's the toughest opponent down the stretch? I go back and forth here, and I took a look earlier at what games they need to win and lose, etc., in order to give themselves a real chance. I was just going through the schedule by, you know, as I was doing some writing earlier, but like, I think here it's between the Vikings and the Bengals, and I can't decide who's who as far as their toughest opponent, because you look at the Vikings and they're what, 8-1 now after yesterday's win?
Yeah.
They seem to be revitalized under Kevin O'Connell. You got, you know, Kirk O'Chains, whatever they're calling him. He's balling out there. So like, it's 1 p.m. Kirk almost every week now, but I mean, they look like a solid team. That game's also in Minnesota, which makes it tough. Where the Bengals game, the Bengals are also a good team, and they're gonna win some games down the stretch. Burrow's gonna turn it on, sort of like he did last year. It depends on the health of Ja'Marr Chase too, but that game's in Gillette, so I would say that Minnesota in Minnesota is probably their toughest opponent outside the Bills.
Yeah, if we're talking about like which games they have to win, obviously the Bengals game is more important. That's another wild card.
Yeah,
game. Toughest true. Game, like you said, Minnesota in Minnesota, short week. That team's rolling, man. And I'll say this too, like the Bengals are a really talented team, but where they're at their best actually kind of lines up with some of the Patriots' strengths. Like Patriots have been good against some of those vertical, like true vertical passing offenses. Joe Burrow's not a guy who's going to threaten you a ton with his legs, right? Who's their tight end? Like, they don't have a great tight end.
Yeah, it's Uzoma? No.
No, it's not, because he's on the year. Jets.
Hayden Hurst.
Yeah, Hayden Hurst is, you know, he's not bad, but he's not a guy that...
He's just a tight end, just like I talk about, like the Tunyons of the world. And the,
right, he's on the Robert Tunyon Conklin, which when Kyle Duggar's out there, they've been able to handle those guys. So
right.
I think Vikings, I will say though, and I know I'm going to get crap for this, but I don't care. The sneaky, like the trap, we'll call it the trap game down the stretch here.
Yeah.
Is at the Raiders. That is going to be a sneaky competitive game.
Yeah.
It is a massive pride game for Josh McDaniels. Like they are going to show up for that game. That is their Super Bowl. It is a chance for Josh McDaniels to justify his position. It's going to get flat. Like it's probably going to get moved up at the last minute, which I don't know how much that affects you, but it's just another thing. It's the beginning of, they're going to be out there all week. So they're playing the Raiders on Sunday and they're staying out there to play Arizona on Monday. There's just a lot of weird stuff going on around that game.
And yeah, it's
say what you will about how the Raiders have looked. They still have a ton of talent. They still have a ton of talent.
And they're in games at the end. That's the thing.
Right.
They're not winning them, but they're in a lot of these games towards the very end. So one's going to break their way eventually.
When you have guys like Davante Adams, I know Darren Waller's hurt, but, you know, could he be back? Josh Jacobs, a guy I really like. You look at that pass rush with Chandler Jones and Max Crosby, right?
Right.
Again, trap game. I'll call it. They should win because the Raiders do have significant flaws, like you mentioned. But trap game.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that'll do it here for Q&A. You know what? Actually, no. One more. This will get you going a little bit. Do you see? Last question here. Do you see any way the Patriots bring back Isaiah Wynn? I think there's absolutely no chance. But let's. What say you?
I could see it. I mean, they.
Okay.
They clearly like him enough that they didn't trade him, right? They had opportunities to trade him. It was a seller's market. They probably would have gotten something good for him. I'm not talking about the deadline. I'm talking about before the season over the summer.
Yeah.
They probably could have gotten a good offer from him. Like what do I think will happen? Gut thought? No, I don't think he's back. But
sure.
Would it be the craziest thing in the world to me if they bring him back? And are just like, yeah, we're, you know, we'll move you back to the left side. We'll kick you in a guard. Like, you just try to make it work on like a 1 year, prove it. Yeah. I could see them trying to. Now, the other half of the question is, does he want to come back? Because he seems very disinterested here.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of why I say no. Is it going to work? Are they going to mend the fence?
Yeah. So I was only thinking about it from the Patriots point of view. Okay. Yeah, I don't think he comes back. But I would say this. It would not surprise me at all if we get a report like right after the season that they're doing their due diligence on Isaiah Wynn and like the two sides are talking or something. I could see.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I would. Let him go. Trent's been fine. Let him go. Great tackle class. That's your first round pick. It's an offensive tackle. We'll figure out the wide receiver thing some way, somehow. Get an offensive tackle. That's what I would do. But
yeah,
they've done stranger things. So
that's fair. All right, let's wrap this up. Barth, quickly, let's do a quick Boston sports minute here because there's a lot going on in just about every single aspect of Boston sports. Let's start with You know, let's get the bat out the way first. Red Sox. I just think I heard. So Nate Eovaldi was given a qualifying offer, but I believe someone who's the EEI, Rob Bradford, reported that they're looking to make something happen there. Whether it's a 2 year deal for $34 million. I think his qualifying offer is a year for like 19. Where do you think they go with Eovaldi? I think personally, I think he's a guy who would be worth the 2 years at 34. It's a little bit less money. Guy who you can keep around. It's if you're gonna end up trying to maybe bring Bogarts back, but even still, you have guys like Devers, you have guys like Story. It's a team that can win now under the right circumstances. So I think Eovaldi's good here for two more years.
Like I'm fine. I'm not necessarily opposed to bringing him back. They can't bring him back and say the rotation's set. They can't. He's not a number one. He's not consistent enough. When he's on, he's a number one. He'll have a sub 3 ERA for a month, but then for the next 2 months, his ERA is around 5. So
he'll miss 10 starts.
Or he'll miss 10 starts. Perfect point. I'll take him as like a 2 or 3, right? But he's not a 1. Chris Sale's not a 1. I've said this before. I'll say it a million times. Anything you get from Chris Sale is gravy. You count on 0 innings from him, and you go from there. Right.
Yeah.
He's not a number one. It's also been like 4 years since he's pitched, so who knows what he's going to look like. I'm not opposed to bringing back Nathan Eovaldi, but if it's Nathan Eovaldi or Carlos Rodon, right?
Right.
Rodon. If it's Nathan Eovaldi or Chris Bassett, guys who have proven they can be at the front of a rotation for a full season. Like,
yeah, I know. I just love Eovaldi here. I think he's got it.
And that's why I'm saying I wouldn't run away from him. I wouldn't run away from him. But this is a big-time baseball market. You want to be playing in big-time games. I know Eovaldi pitched all those extra innings in the World Series, and that was awesome. You need that Pedro, John Lester, 2018 Chris Sale, like that guy. To me, Eovaldi's one step below that. And there's totally room for that guy on the roster. Again, if they signed him and then brought in Rodon, hell yeah.
Yeah, do it. Yeah, both. Aboard. Right.
But you need that big game pitcher. And I know he gets tagged as a big game pitcher. I think he has big game moments. He certainly does. Like, yeah, he's got stones, but.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Go ahead.
He's not that guy that, I guess it's, he pitches well in big games. I want the guy who it's a big game when he pitches. Those are two different things.
Sure.
Right?
That's a good point.
And so that's where I'm at on Eovaldi. There was one other thing in the chat I saw that I thought, oh, I will say this, though. The other guy I like, and this is maybe where you get the or with Eovaldi. I'll give Chaim Bloom, and this is probably more credit to the medical staff, but they've done a great job rehabbing guys coming off Tommy John. And it's kind of like a torn ACL in football where it's, the second year.
Yeah.
The guys really get going. If he's willing to sign like a 1 or 2 year prove it deal, and they did it last year with James Paxton, he didn't even end up pitching. So I'm inclined to believe they will do this. Can't be their only signing. Again, go get me a guy like Carlos Rodon, but I would not hate them going after Noah Syndergaard. I really wouldn't. I think there's tremendous upside there. I really do. I wrote about this on 98.5thesportsup.com. Get me like a Rodon, Bassett, DeGrom. Maybe DeGrom. Like, that's an extreme, but like one of those guys.
They're not going to do that, though.
They're not going to get DeGrom, but I'm saying like that category, the top tier, and then either bring back Eovaldi or sign Noah Syndergaard. That's kind of where I'm at. Like, one column A, one column B.
Yeah, okay. Syndergaard definitely has more upside than a guy like Paxton, I would think, what they did last year.
Exactly, but look at a guy like Garrett Whitlock, where he was coming off Tommy John and whatever it was, like, they made it work, and they had a guy in the bullpen. I can't do names tonight. I don't know what it is. But they've done well outside of Chris Sale, who I think that's more of a Chris Sale issue than a Red Sox issue. He weighs 120 pounds. They've done a good job rehabbing these guys, so I'd like to see him take a shot with Syndergaard.
Alex Barth, not a Chris Sale guy. I know that from experience. Quickly on the Sox.
I loved him when he was good. He just doesn't – how can you be a fan of a guy that doesn't play?
No, I know. Right, I agree. With Eovaldi, though, quickly, and I want to go back Celtics B's and then get out of here. But just like you said, everyone loves, this, like you said, the stones on Eovaldi. Yeah. The one game he had those stones, they didn't win the game.
That's
which
true.
Is funny. That which is kind of, it's ironic the way that, you know, it was great. Don't get me wrong. It was like heroic. The guy pitched the game before, what have you. But I mean, it was the one game they lost in the series. But anyway, I like Evaldi. I'd want him back. Let's go Celtics really fast. Celtics rolling. They play tonight again. I believe in OKC. Is Jason Tatum the MVP front runner right now in the NBA, Alex Barth? I say yes. And it has there's no bias in me having him 14-1 to win MVP. I truly believe he's the front runner. What do you think?
I mean, you look at what Joel Embiid's done the last couple nights. He's closing that gap. Yeah, but yeah, I'm still Tatum. I hate it too, but it's still Tatum right now because I'm one of these people that gets picky and focuses on the value part of most valuable player, yeah. Right? Embiid had that game and it came down to the final seconds. I mean, they were up right. Three with like 20 seconds to go, right?
Yeah.
Tatum's got them blowing by teams, so I'm still Tatum right now. Ton of season to go. What's encouraging to me about what Jason Tatum's doing the last two or three years, whatever it is, he started season slow and then like late in the season, right around St. Patrick or in that earlier than that, like February, Groundhog Day, you kind of see that All-star real superstar break. Jason Tatum yeah. come out, right? Yeah. Like last year we were talking, oh, here we go. It's the Jason Tatum thing again. Sucks at the beginning of the year. There's questions. Then he gets hurt. Then he comes back and he's a superstar for the last 2 months.
He's doing that now.
So here's my thought. What if that trend still continues? What if this is his base and he and builds this season like he traditionally has built in the past?
Right.
He's going to run away with the MVP. Oh, I don't know if that's the case. I don't know how much room there is for him to grow at this point. I mean, again,
right. He's playing sensational.
And that's
basketball.
Not a knock on him. He's playing unbelievably. Like, how much better can you get? But that's my fun little thought is, okay, Jason Tatum traditionally has closed seasons better than he started them. If this is where he's starting, where is this thing going?
Totally,
so that's my fun little Jason Tatum thought.
It's a good path. I think Tatum, like you said, MVP frontrunner. There's guys like Giannis and Luka and Embiid there, but he's right in the pack. There's no true one right now. And as a Celtics fan and as a guy who's holding that ticket, I take Tatum.
They reward winning with that award.
Right.
Celtic,
totally.
Are they did they pass the box or are they still second in the league?
I believe they're second by a half game.
Okay, but I mean,
still, they're right. Yeah. All right. Third team, I guess, including the Patriots, but Bruins, 15 games, starting 13-2. They're absolutely rolling right now. They seem to not be able to find a loss. I think Linus Ullmark's undefeated. I think they're undefeated at home. I might be pulling these numbers out of my ass, but I believe those are correct. Are they peaking too early? Can they win the Stanley Cup? It feels like a team that starts 13-2 is automatically peaking too early, but do you think they can continue this type of trend?
So first of all,
they're a wagon
right
now.
Wagon. I actually think a lot of what they're doing is sustainable. I liked the Hampus Lindholm trade last year. He's the kind of defenseman they haven't had for a while. I know Charlie McAvoy is pretty good offensively, but I wouldn't say he's offensive minded. Like Hampus Lindholm is a guy who you have to think about in your defensive zone. Like really, like he can run point and all that. And he had to adjust his game a little bit coming from Anaheim. They play a different style. I think he's done that tremendously. I think he put in a ton of work this offseason, gotten in with the coaching staff. Really, there's a ton of buy-in there from what he's doing. I think most of what they're doing is sustainable. The only guy I wonder about is Ullmark, because when you see a goalie playing like this, who isn't like Ullmark's a fine NHL goalie. He's never been this guy, right? And he has to play a lot right now because Jeremy Swayman is hurt.
Yep.
Can he keep this up? Now, look, I still think even if he regresses a little bit, they can still win a cup playing the way they're playing, assuming they stay healthy. Are they going to – they're on pace now to win like 60-something games? Like, I don't know about that, but I do actually think a lot of what they're doing is sustainable. I really do. And I the Lindholm trade, I know Sweeney's getting a lot of crap right now, and some of it's deserved in non-hockey-related stuff. Is certainly deserved in regards to Mitchell Miller, but that Hampus Lindholm trade really is a chance to flip things because that looks brilliant right now. That guy, you talk about bringing in everything you needed. That guy's everything you needed.
Go ahead. Yeah. That's sort of the thing with it's why that the whole Mitchell Miller saga is so much more confusing than it even should be. It's like they've been under bad PR fire forever. People don't like Sweeney. People don't like Neely, whatever. They get rid of Cassidy. They get DeBrusk back. They get Bergeron back. They get Krejci back. They make the Lindholm trade. Things are rolling. And then they do that, the stupid Mitchell Miller decision. And it's like, what are we doing? they're not fully past it, of course. You know, that's gonna stick around for quite some time. But again, like you said, the Lindholm thing was great, and Sweeney was doing so much good, and then he did that nonsense. But what do you got?
Yeah, so I'm not a huge soccer guy, but I think this begins this week, right? When does the World Cup start?
I think it starts Sunday or next month, the 20th. So Sunday.
Okay, so yeah. I knew the U.S.'s first match was on the 21st. I didn't know if there was like games before that or how many days in with they're playing. I'm really not a soccer guy. I'll admit it. I'm not, but I get into the World Cup. I do, because if you give me rooting interest in something, I'll watch whatever. Yep. Especially if there's stakes, like with the World Cup, obviously there's a ton of stakes. Like I watched the Euro final. Remember when England was in it? It was a big deal.
Yeah.
A family friend who's British. So I watched with him, and I'm all of a sudden I'm locked in. It was great.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it too. I'm actually doing some gambling content on clnsmedia.com revolving around the World Cup. So you can check that out this week on there too.
So I know Matt Turner is a goalie for the U.S. I don't know if he's the starter. I pretty much remember the last time they were in it 8 years ago. They had that crazy game against it was Portugal, right?
Yeah.
And Ronaldo and all of that. I'm honestly going to kind of look into the team this week now that I know it's starting next week.
Yeah,
and familiarize myself a little bit.
Christian Pulisic.
Yeah, I know about
Pulisic,
him.
Whatever.
Josie Altidore still a thing. I was a big Josie Altidore.
I don't think so.
He just got hurt all the time. Like, he was fun watching him play as a tank, and then he get hurt every other game. But. Yep. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be locked in. Any sport being played at the highest level, I don't care what the sport is, is always fun.
I'm with you.
Because you're seeing the best of the best, and there's a ton on the line, and that's great. So
I'm very excited. Olympics, for example, watching a guy like Michael Phelps.
Exactly.
That's good stuff. Shout out Bentley Swim and Dive. My girlfriend was a swimmer there. I'm wearing a swimming hat right now. So
wait, it's somebody in the chat. It's Pulisic. I thought it was Pulisic.
This
is Pulisic. Okay.
Yeah, maybe it is.
Again, I'm going to do my research this week.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's it for our Boston Sports Minute. That's it for our Patriots Beat episode tonight. We will be back on Thursday to preview Patriots versus Jets coming up this Sunday at 1 p.m. Again, we'll do more of a deep dive offensive defense, special teams, kind of get back into our mojo there. But for now, for Alex Barth, I'm Mike Kadlec. Thanks for watching our Q&A. And again, we'll be back on Thursday. So thank you all for watching.